name is Jackie Lineport. Today is Tuesday, November 23rd. Welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast. Today on the show,
we're just starting our storm season. We are going to see significant numbers even into this week. Once again, we're looking at triple digits in some areas. So when we add in just these two weeks, that big storm last week, and then what's happening this week, we are going to have some very substantial numbers.
While we're still dealing with the intense damage caused by the storm last week, projections are showing even more serious rainfall coming our way. Today, we learn why, how much, and what to expect. Today's Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by the Avenue Gallery in charming Oak Bay Village. Drop in to view B. Yuan Cheng's solo exhibition, Coastal Forests, on until November 29th. In his eighth solo exhibition with the Avenue Gallery, Cheng continues to capture the beauty of the Canadian landscape with calligraphic brushwork, mastery of light, and refined use of color. The Avenue Gallery looks forward to welcoming you to take in the magnificence of B. Yuan Cheng's new collection, or view the exhibition online at theavenuegallery.com. By the way, if you're listening and you enjoy the podcast and you're thinking, wow, how can I support this? Well, the best thing you can do is to leave a rating and a review on the app that you're listening to right now, if it allows it. And for supporting all of Capital Daily's local journalism, you can check out our membership opportunity at capitaldaily.ca/member. You've heard all about it already. Floods devastating communities, blocking transitways, causing fatal mudslides. And while repairs are still being made and highways reopened, there is still incredible damage done that needs extensive work, including a large section of Highway 8 between Spence's Bridge and Merritt. BC Hydro tweeted overhead footage of the area, and much of the road is completely gone. In their tweet accompanying the video, they said at least 75 power poles were also washed away. And that is just a small example of all of the disastrous things that we've seen over the past nearly a week now. Across BC, we've collectively been living the reality of this major, rare storm that hit us. But unfortunately, the rain season has just begun, and projections show a lot more intense precipitation heading our way. I saw some of these projections from different meteorologists and had some outstanding questions, one of which was, what exactly is an atmospheric river? Which I'm sure is a term that you've seen thrown around a lot in the last week or so, and you, like me, might not be trained in meteorology. Which is why I reached out to a local meteorologist to explain some of these things and give us some predictions for what may come during the rest of the season. You'll get more of an explanation later in the episode, but I want to preface with this. That storm that we saw was rare, and we likely won't see something like that again for a while. But there are still some other challenges and dangers that we face because of its effects. So, with that, we welcome Warren Dean, CTV Vancouver Island's weather anchor, to explain what I just semi-explained and even more. Warren, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's just start by looking backwards. Can you explain the significance of the precipitation that we've seen in the past little bit?
Yeah, so last weekend's big storm, which hit the southern portion of Vancouver Island and then created all the flooding in Abbotsford and Merritt, that rainfall event basically delivered a month's worth of rain in 48 hours. With the intensity of that and the amounts of rain that it dropped in such a short period of time were really what affected those communities and made streams and rivers flood, overrun the banks, created mudslides. Also within that system, when we get these Pineapple Expresses or atmospheric rivers, sometimes we get along with it these really warm pockets of air within the system. Mm-hmm. And that was the case. You could feel it here in Victoria that Sunday morning. Sunday morning was so warm. And so what that also does is it creates melting on the higher elevations for the snowpack. So you get not only a whole bunch of rain delivered in a short period of time, but now you have that snow melting and that's adding to overflooding streams and creating those mudslides. So it was a combination of a few things that created an absolute nasty storm, a monster, if you will.
Okay, wow. I wanted to zone in a little bit on atmospheric river because you mentioned that, and I've seen that thrown around a lot, but I'm not sure everybody quite understands what that is. But first, just really quickly, was the event you just described record-setting?
In some places it was, yeah. Abbotsford set a one-day record for rainfall. I believe it was over 100 millimeters. So in some areas it was. We'll obviously check with monthly totals, but I would assume with what we saw in those 2 days that we'll absolutely break some monthly rainfall records for November also. So yeah, it was a record-setting and a pretty unprecedented event as well.
Okay. All right. And then my question about atmospheric rivers, what is that?
Yeah, so an atmospheric river is basically just that. It's a river up in the air. Weather is, we deal with the atmosphere and all the different layers that go within it. So when we take a look at these, particularly in the fall, because fall is a very erratic season, things change a lot and they change very dramatically and very quickly. We're dealing with a few things. And not only are we dealing with the tilt and the rotation of the earth changing, we're talking about up and down temperatures changing on a daily basis as we try to go from our warm season to our cooler season. And we're also adding in a lot of moisture from not just the Pacific, but from subtropical regions also. Now, when we look at the bigger picture of what's happening in the world these days, we know that over the last several years, the Earth has warmed up significantly. Our oceans have warmed up significantly. Our atmosphere is warmer. We're breaking temperatures. So when we track everything, you have to put all these ingredients into the equation or into the recipe. So with an atmospheric river, we're getting that warming of the air and the ocean, and that's putting more moisture into the atmosphere. So we've got more moisture in the atmosphere. We've gotten a track. Our polar jet is usually tracking towards Western Canada, or at least the west coast of the Northern Hemisphere, anywhere from Northern California just to the south of Alaska. And we're in that direct line. And then we're throwing in the moisture from the tropics also. So it's a combination of just a lot of moisture being fed into one location or one track. And then that polar jet just carries it right along and it dumps over top of us. So it stays in the atmosphere for a bit. And then as soon as we get it over land, it's going to fall out. And that condensation or the condensing of all that and all those ingredients produce these huge rivers of moisture through the air.
Wow. Okay. And Pineapple Express, you said that as well. My mind goes to the movie from the early 2000s. is that the same thing?
Yeah, Pineapple Express is an atmospheric river, and the reason we call it a Pineapple Express is very simple. It's because it starts, the formation begins near the Hawaiian Islands. So just the pineapples there, and that's why we call it that. But I know that people are, a lot of people getting up in arms about, they maybe haven't heard these terms before. And while atmospheric river is a newer term, it's been around for years. Bomb cyclone has been a term used since the 50s. So a lot of times, because you haven't heard of one of these terms doesn't mean we're making it up. It's not for panic. It's not for fear mongering. The reality is that weather around the world has changed significantly and in a negative way, as in we have more frequent storms and those storms are bigger and badder. They're more intense and they're more impactful. And that's exactly what we saw last weekend.
Okay. And that was just last weekend, but I've also seen some modeling circling that shows that we're going to have a lot more precipitation coming very soon. What should we expect?
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, we're just starting our busy season with storms and these types of weather events, and we kicked it off with a bang. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we are going to see more. It's not necessarily that every time we see an atmospheric river, it's going to be of that intensity. It's not. That was rare. That's not going to be the thing. Will it be more common than usual? Yes, it will be. But what we're running into now is because when we get an event like that, and then we don't have enough time to recover, we keep stacking problems on top of problems. So now any atmospheric river that's carrying a substantial amount of moisture is going to impact us negatively. We're vulnerable. If you think of the ground and the earth as a sponge, you can dump a sponge in a bucket of water, fill it right up, and now it's full. But what if you wanted to add more water? We can't, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to overflow. It's going to spill out. And that's what's happening to the earth. So we're saturated in the ground. The water has nowhere to go. So that's why when we take a look now, while our next week, we do have significant rain. It's going to happen over a few days. We're looking at Thursday and Saturday being the next big events. And in total, throughout the rest of the week, we're going to get into that 100 to 150 millimeter range in some areas. But because we've already filled our sponge, that water doesn't have much room to go or anywhere to go. So it's going to fall. It's going to have to go somewhere. And that's when we run into those problems.
Okay. And speaking of just situations adding to previous situations, a colleague of mine on Twitter had asked, Dustin Godfrey, he had asked, if we're going to be seeing a lot of precipitation higher up in the mountains, is it possible that that's going to turn into snow? And if so, is that going to create a more of a snowpack that's going to inevitably add to bigger floods come springtime?
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely a case. One of the things we're also dealing with this fall is a La Nina. Mm-hmm. La Nina systems are known to deliver more moisture than average in a year and more intense storms. This is a weak La Nina. We're putting it at around 40%. That being said, the intensity of our storms and how it's been working over the last couple of years, you throw in a little bit of La Nina, we can expect more. So, with your question, yeah, more snow in the higher elevations gives us a bigger snowpack. And yeah, the concern is, of course, going to be the runoff in the spring. The other concern with the way we're getting this dealt to us, and I'm not saying this is happening, the potential is there for this to happen. When we get these systems and they have some of that warm air and you're already seeing snow, it's going to melt that snow. Then it's going to kind of leave that ice layer. Right. So you get that crunchy snow. Then if we put more snow on top of that, it's got an unsafe base. That base gives us that real threat of avalanches happening. Mm. That's going to be a big concern, too. Maybe not so much heading into winter, but come spring when things really start to loosen up. So it's a big picture problem right now with many things happening at the same time, which can create havoc, which we just saw.
Yeah. Okay. Let's focus in more specifically on Vancouver Island. We are right in that sweet spot that you said, you talked about for getting rainfall. Is that what we're looking at? Are we looking at a very high rainfall season?
Yeah, it sure seems that way. If we take what's been happening so far, we throw in La Nina. Obviously, we've started off on a very wet note, and it's almost mind-boggling to how much it's changed in just a few months. We went from a horribly dry spring to a heat dome this summer, creating widespread drought, and now we're dealing with overflowing rivers and mudslides and water saturating the earth. So that's how quickly things can change in such a short period of time. So, as I said, we're just starting our storm season. We are going to see significant numbers even into this week. Once again, we're looking at triple digits in some areas. So when we add in just these two weeks, that big storm last week, and then what's happening this week, we are going to have some very substantial numbers. And now, we were playing catch up to get moisture put back into the earth and our area. And now we're going to need some time to dry out. Unfortunately, with this time of year, as we've seen, we're not getting that long time period of being dry because we keep getting moisture. And whether it's 5 millimeters, 10 millimeters, or 50 millimeters, it's going to be, when we start stacking these systems on top of each other, it's going to be impactful at some point.
Are there any areas on Vancouver Island that you might be worried about flooding?
Yeah, the local state of emergency in Duncan and the Cowichan Valley has just been extended. So that's definitely an area of concern. When the officials get together and they assess their stuff, and which, these days, I think that because we have so much data and information and people helping, that it's much more accurate and specific. When they start, lengthening out states of emergency, it's something we have to pay attention to. So that area is obviously an area of concern. Like I said, we don't have enough time to catch up and dry out. you know, we were lucky this year on the island. We didn't have as many fires. So that's part of the issue that they're seeing on the mainland and in through the interior. Not saying that it's a direct result, but it's part of the equation once again, and part of the recipe. When you have those fires and they take out all that brush and all those woods, mm-hmm. you have really nothing to soak up that moisture. So then again, water can get building and roll right off those hillsides and right off those mountains. So that's something that doesn't help either. So on the island, we've been lucky in that state. We didn't have a lot of those fires that did major damage, but anytime we get into those valley communities, anywhere is protected kind of in the bowl areas. And then around the mountains, we're obviously going to watch hardcore this year because it is going to be a very dangerous year.
Okay. You mentioned the drastic change in the past couple of months, the drought to the flooding. That's something that we have to mention when we're talking about weather, and that's climate change. How does that play into all of this?
Yeah, well, I mean, the big part about it is that we have to get everybody on the same page. And, you know, I know that a lot of people don't like to talk about climate change because if it's not happening at their house, they don't think it's happening. Climate change is a world issue, and weather is a big picture issue. When I sit down and do my forecast for Vancouver Island, I'm not just looking at the island. I'm looking broadly. What's happening thousands of miles away, north, south, east, west, because that's the big picture, and that's how weather is formed. So when we take a look at climate change, we can look back to just a couple years ago. 2 years ago, we had record-setting amounts of hurricanes. That's a scary, scary situation. We've known for the past several years that the Earth is heating up. Our temperatures are higher. They're more dramatic. And yes, they go up and down. Climate change doesn't mean that you're going to always see temperatures 45 degrees. That's not what it means. All it means is that in your area, the climate is different than it used to be. And climate is a long duration of time. Weather is what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And then weather happens within a climate. So with that record amount of hurricanes, we've seen the major storm season and through Tornado Alley start earlier, be more intensive, and last longer. We've seen our storms be more intense, more frequent, giving us these big weather events that we're seeing. And, you know, you have things like a heat dome, and then you have a complete switch to where now we're dealing with flooding and overrun communities. So this is it. This is, you're witnessing it firsthand. We're dealing with it. We're in it right now. And we really have to be conscious of what we're doing, how we're preparing. And when we put out those watches and warnings, it's not fear-mongering. It's not to put in panic. It's to let everybody know, look, this is the potential of what can happen. We need to prepare for the worst, hope for the best, and really work on, you know, changing our attitudes, number one, and the way we react to these storms by our roads and our rivers and all those things. So it's really an opportunity for us to come together and work together to help each other out.
Mm-hmm. The last question I have for you is something a little bit more your experience.
Sure.
As a meteorologist, has your job become more difficult given the impacts climate change has had on predictability?
A little bit, yeah. It's a little bit different. I think what has changed the most is that, you know, it's the trying to get the message out there, again, to be prepared for the worst and hope for the best, but then getting so much pushback from people. And that's really hard. It's hard to, you know, our job is just as much public safety as anything. And, you know, I'm not out here trying to make stuff up. I don't want flooding to happen. I don't want a heat dome to happen. But if it's going to, I want you to trust me that I know what I'm talking about, and that our message out there is to make sure everybody's safe and prepared. And what I have seen is I've seen a community really come together from not just the weather community, but farmers and anybody that works outside and parks and recreation and people that look after our rivers and lakes, and really working together, getting more information and more data gathered to get a more concise forecast and a more predictable element to it, so that we can make sure that everybody's on the same page and knowing what we're doing. So it's fun in a sense because it's always busy, and I love tracking storms, but at the same time it's worrisome. It's a little scary, but if we can just keep working together and getting that out there, the more we know in advance, the better it's going to be for everybody. And that's our goal every day.
Awesome. Okay, Warren, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to help support Capital Daily's local journalism and connect your business with our engaged and curious Greater Victoria audience of over 50,000, you can email our partnerships team at advertising@capitaldaily.ca. And thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a rating and a review, and also subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes going forward. We post new shows every Monday to Friday. My name is Jackie Lamport. This is the Capital Daily Podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll be right back.